Pharisees. In Luke chapter 11, there's another instance and another conversation in Matthew 23. We talked about some "you might be a Pharisee if" statements from Luke chapter 11. And we figured out the key ingredient that they missed was, even though they tried to do all the other things, the externals, in the right way, they were missing out on something. And even if we do all the external things right, if we miss out on the main point that is the heart, I think, and no, it's not just what I think, but Jesus, I think, has said, we've missed the mark. So can we work on our heart a little bit tonight? Let's ask ourselves some hard questions. And let's begin the process of maybe chiseling out pieces from our heart and our former life that may be holding us back from a true and authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, the heart is a funny thing. Brianna and I are having guests over to eat dinner tonight, as the announcements have been made. And by the way, if you're going to RSVP tonight before we go to our house in 30 minutes, you're uninvited. So I don't know how you clean the house, but I remember vividly as a boy, Mom said, "Son, clean your room." So what do you think I did? Well, I got out the vacuum cleaner and I got the duster and I folded all the clothes, right? Because that's what, of course not. How much stuff can I shove into my closet and still cram the door shut and kick it one final time so it finally stays in there? But 20 minutes later, it just busts open and the avalanche pours out. You see, sometimes we like to stuff the junk and the clutter and the garbage that just lays around into a secret place because we think that if we can fit it all in there and cram it all in there, and just because nobody else sees it, that it's not there. And so in Luke chapter 12, Jesus is having a conversation with a group of people that think they can stuff the junk and the garbage into the recesses of their heart. And because nobody else sees it, they think, well, it's hidden. But what do we know already? That Ecclesiastes 12, 14, Numbers 32, 23, and Jesus here in Luke 12, verse 2, that your sins and your heart will find you out. So Jesus, in the meantime, thousands of people had gathered together. By the way, the power of the message of Jesus. If thousands aren't gathering, is it because Jesus' message doesn't work, or maybe his messengers aren't using it powerfully enough? Food for thought. People had gathered together and they were trampling one another. And he began to say to his disciples first, watch out. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. It's hypocrisy. You see, they do all the externals at the neglect of the internals. And so nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light. And what you've whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops. Jesus says, beware of your heart. Garbage in, garbage out. Even if the clutter fits, it doesn't mean it won't be found out. As a matter of fact, clutter crammed into closets seeks to be set free. So does the junk from our life. So let's work on our hearts a little bit tonight. There's another verse I want you to bookmark. You can go ahead and flip there. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. I love the Proverbs. They're wise sayings. I don't think it means that literally everything will come true, has to come true. These are poetic, wise sayings from the wisest man who ever lived. And beyond that, he was inspired by the perfect and the Almighty God and His Spirit. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. I'm flipping there. I'm going to give you time to get there too. I don't want you to take my word for it, but rather, take God's word for it. The wise man said this, keep your heart with all vigilance. In other words, keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Now that's personal responsibility. How do I work on my heart tonight? I think we need to put ourselves maybe through four tests. Test number one, the test of sacrifice. What am I willing to give up for Jesus? What am I willing to sacrifice to come into covenant relationship with Jesus. Well, I can sacrifice sins of my previous life. Let that be the old man that dies and goes away. But what am I willing to sacrifice maybe as I mature in Christ? Maybe as my relationship grows in Christ? I don't know about you, but when I met Brianne 11 years ago, we spent a good amount of time together. A good amount of time. Every year after that, we spent more and more time together. Well, guess what? We spend more time together now than we ever have before. Why? Because as a relationship matures and grows, you spend more time together, you have more needs that need to be met by each other, and it requires more togetherness. And so in our relationship with God, we may have it. Someone might need to check on that. Myron might be able to check on that. It's an alarm going off. I didn't mean that to set fear throughout the auditorium. I just, with my ADHD mind, I've got to say it, then I can move on from it. Here's what I mean. When I commit to Christ, man, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. Put me in the water. Help me be washed in the blood, quick. But as I grow and mature, you know what I find out? There are bits and pieces of that old life that I hold on to dearly. There are recesses and secret places in my heart where I know that God has cleansed me, but I'm not ready for Him to chisel me. But the test of sacrifice is this. What am I willing to give up to be closer in my walk with Jesus? Paul said in Philippians 3:8-9, I count all things as loss for the sake of my Lord. Test number two. The test of submission. You know, Jesus' words in Luke 22:42, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Powerful words, moving words, especially in face of the agony that he felt that was showcasing itself in outer turmoil as his sweat became like drops of blood. But that's not the only time he would make a statement like that. Previously to that, in John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus makes the statement, my food, let my food be to do the will of my Father. In other words, he says, let the sustenance that makes me full, that stems the tide, that makes my hunger go away, not be some burger or some meal that goes and fills for a moment, but let it be fulfilling God's will in my life. Let it sustain me. Let it fill me. And let it energize me. When's the last time you thought, oh God, I can't wait to submit to you at your law, at your word, and under your will? The test of submission might be a challenging one. It requires the heart. How about the test number three, of sorrow? Go with me on this one. You cut off somebody on the road. They were in your blind spot. You weren't driving appropriately, but you didn't see them, all right? How bad do you feel? Meh. Nobody was injured. No damage was done. You cut them off and they had to slam on the brakes, so what do you feel like? Eh. Why do you just feel like, eh? It's because they're a stranger. There's no relationship there. It's hard for us to feel bad when we upset people we don't know. On the other side of the equation, you let down your spouse. You disappoint a best friend. You lie to a mother or your father, and your sins find you out. How do you feel now? I can't handle it. I lose sleep. Why? It's my opinion that the depth of grief is a measure of love. That the more pain and sorrow I feel is a measure and a testament to the amount of love that is present for the person that I've upset. When I disappoint my God, when we disappoint our Father, are we meh? Or do we lose sleep at night? The test of sorrow indicates a heart that has experienced the depth and the riches and the goodness of God, mirrored by David in Psalm 51, a text popularly known and read on at many times for many different reasons. But listen to the depth of sorrow. He says in verse 1, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me." He is reiterating the fact that he is an imperfect work in progress that is in desperate need of the riches of God's grace, love, mercy, and forgiveness, because he messed up. So we need to test sacrifice, test submission, test sorrow. And then the fourth and final test for our heart is the test of satisfaction. "Boy, I can't wait to get up and go to worship," said how many people last night? "What a riveting Bible study. We just prayed for 10 minutes. I loved it." I remember having a conversation with an individual one time. "You know, I can't wait to go to heaven because I've heard that we're going to sing for eternity. And how cool is it to consider that my voice won't go out? I won't miss any of the notes. As a matter of fact, I'll have a good voice for the first time in my life. I can't wait to go to heaven." The individual responded, "Yeah, I'm not looking forward to it." I said, "What? Why?" He goes, "I hate singing." Whoa. Sounds like a heart problem. If we lack the ability to be satisfied and find joy in things of God, and it may not just be worship, but it needs to be worship. It may not just be Bible study, but it needs to be Bible study. It may not be continuous and constant prayer as the Bible teaches us, but it needs to be prayer. It better be service. It's not just only service, but it has to be service. It has to be a multitude of things. The test of satisfaction is this: do I find joy in the things of my God or not? And if the things of my God, spiritual disciplines, if they are merely duty and responsibility, and they become acts of drudgery, do I have a heart that has truly been given and devoted to my God? You see, the test of satisfaction speaks to the inner recesses of the heart. So, which part do you need to work on for your heart tonight? I want to close with some practical questions. Some questions that we might be able to ask ourselves every day. These are some questions I got from a friend with permission to preach and use. His name is Matt Cook. He is a great preacher. He gave these questions, and I thought they were fantastic. "Ask myself daily to know the condition of my heart. Thinking on your day, am I mad at anyone? Thinking on my day, did I choose to be upset with anybody else?" You see, if I choose to do that, and if I allow other people to get there, well, then they'll control what's in there. And if I let it stay there, then it can fester and rot within. Another question he said, "Was I pridefully trying to impress anybody today? Or is God the only source of my pride, the one in whom I try to impress?" He said these, and I love these about social media. "If I posted something on social media today, who was I trying to impress? He said, "What if my thought life was a public Twitter feed? Would I then hurt anyone?" That was pretty good. How about this one? Probably my favorite. "Whose failure did I secretly celebrate?" Let me confess to you, I'm a big Kentucky basketball fan. You know what I like even more than watching Kentucky win? is watching Duke and Louisville lose. I almost find more satisfaction in that than watching Kentucky win. That's an issue. Do we need to work on that in our lives? Are there people that we secretly celebrate when they fail? Jealousy? Discontentment? Not being satisfied with where we're at? If so, we might need to work on the heart. I don't know where you are tonight. God does. It's time to get right with God. This coming Sunday morning, I'm going to preach a sermon called Things I Need to Do Before It's Too Late. Something you need to do before it's too late is make your heart right with God. Please let us help you. Ma'am, we are a church that supports one another to walk in love before the Lord, imperfectly, but doing our very best. We'll surround you and lift you up and help you along the way. Let it be known as we stand and sing together.